Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 167, Smorgasbord, October 2020. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun, all of that good sort of stuff. Today, I'm going to be bringing you a smorgasbord episode. You know, the last few episodes I've put out have been interview-based episodes, so we haven't really had a chance just to sit down and have a nice little chat together. So I thought today would be a good time to bring another smorgasbord along. If you're a new listener to the show, welcome. Super glad you're here. If you're not familiar with what my smorgasbord episodes are about, they're sort of potpourri episodes. I don't have one theme per se for the whole episode. Rather, I have a lot of smaller, shorter things I want to talk about, and I kind of jam them all together into an episode I call a smorgasbord. Now, like every episode I do, I will have a show notes page for this smorgasbord episode. So if you're interested in finding any links, I will probably end up talking about a couple of recipes here or something like that. You can head over to the show notes. And for this particular episode, you can find those at kitchencounterpodcast.com/167. So kitchencounterpodcast.com/167 will get you to the show notes for this episode. And if you hear something in this episode that you're interested in, you want more information, that is the place to find it. Couple other quick bits of housekeeping. If you want to get a hold of me, a great way to do that is just to send me an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. If you have a topic for the show or you have a question you'd like me to raise on the show, that's a great place to send those ideas. Oftentimes, actually, in smorgasbord episodes, I will take some time to do some listener questions. I'm not sure if I'll have time to get to any of those today, but typically this is where I would do that. And sometimes I get a cluster of listener questions, or I get a question that really spurs a deep discussion, and then I end up making a dedicated episode for that question. But feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com is, again, a great place to get in touch with me. Or if you just want to say hi, I like those emails too. If you're interested in interacting with the community a little bit more, we have a private Facebook group called the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. The easiest way to get over that is again, kitchencounterpodcast.com/group, and that will redirect you over to the Facebook group. Like I said, it's a private group. You have to answer a couple of questions to get in. We don't allow any spam or anything like that. So it's just a great group of people that share recipes and pictures and ask questions. And, you know, we're those folks that like to talk about food and cooking, and it's a total safe place to do that. All right. Well, without further ado, let's jump into this smorgasbord for October 2020. All right, everybody. So what's been going on? It seems like it's been a few weeks since I've released an episode. And again, that was an interview episode like the last few have been, so I haven't really had a chance to bring you up to speed on any interesting things going on in my world. I know we've all got a lot of interesting things happening in our worlds these days. But, you know, fall is here. It's early October. My favorite time of year when it comes to food. Now, don't get me wrong. Love summer. Love grilling. Love, you know, all the good produce that comes with summer. But there's something about fall. I feel like it's licensed to make all the comfort food that I want to make. And I know I've talked about this before. I probably talk about this every year when fall rolls around. But you know what? It's the ultimate food season, in my opinion. What can I say? Just the other day, I made a big pot of jambalaya, which for me is one of the ultimate comfort foods. And really, I don't really eat that over the summertime. So I was just waiting for some cool weather to roll in. So I could have that. But, you know, around here, it's been weird because right after Labor Day, right after, what was that, September 7th or whatever, we had the wildfires. Well, we still do. I shouldn't say they're gone. We still do have wildfires here in the West, really bad ones, actually. And in Oregon, where I live, just east of us here, east of the Willamette Valley, the wildfires were unlike anything really we've seen in generations. Bad fires. The air quality here in Salem, where I live, was unbelievably bad for about a week, or maybe 8 or 9 days even. The first day, the sky was dark red. I'll have to find some pictures and put them on the show notes. It was, again, I hate to be like use so much hyperbole, but it was unlike anything I've ever seen. It was really as if we were on another planet. So, you know, that threw a weird kink in everybody's schedule, you know, on top of the pandemic and back to school and all that kind of stuff. So it's been busy, but anyway, I had a pot of jambalaya on the stovetop. I can eat the heck out of that. I have a great recipe for it. I will put it over in the show notes. In fact, I think I've done an episode where I talked to some degree about my jambalaya, but I'll have to find the link to that. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but a great, great comfort food. I might even maybe I'll do a live cooking episode on jambalaya one of these days. But, you know, I'm inspired too by the Facebook group because there's so many people in there making just amazing comfort foods like stews and chilies and soups. Lots of bread baking going on in that group too. It just makes me hungry all the time. There are a couple of new things I want to talk about. One, I have a lot of folks who email me or mention to me that they want me to do more content about Instant Pots. And so I'm going to be working on that, but I have to tell you, I got a new gadget for my Instant Pot, and you've heard me talk before. In fact, I've talked about it in episodes before about making hard-boiled eggs in the Instant Pot. I'm not one of those people that, you know, cry about being able to peel a hard-boiled egg, but that was before I made hard-boiled eggs in the Instant Pot because it really is a game changer. And for me, I was just laying the eggs in the Instant Pot on the little metal, whatever you call that, the rack that comes with the Instant Pot, and just kind of laying them there and spreading them out and doing them that way. But Tracy, my wife, was at Target the other day, and they have all these gadgets now for the Instant Pot. It's really kind of amazing. And she actually mentioned seeing this to her. This is why she bought it. But she bought an egg ring for the Instant Pot. And I thought just doing eggs in the Instant Pot upped my hard-boiled egg game. This egg ring is my new favorite gadget. And it sounds so dumb because it's so simple. And it's really a one-trick pony. But it's like a silicone circle, like a web. I don't have how to explain it. I'll take a picture of it, put it in the show notes. But it's got little circles. It's all connected. It's got 9 little circles, places where you can put your eggs. So you set this in the bottom of your Instant Pot, right in the middle, insert. And then you can set your eggs upright on this little egg ring. And so what it does is it keeps the eggs off of the water on the bottom. It keeps them from rattling around or popping, you know, banging into each other. And it just allows for more uniform cooking. And I'll tell you, I usually would get at least, like if I did a half a dozen boiled eggs, I would usually at least get one that would crack in the Instant Pot. And then I just have to eat it right away. I have not had a cracked egg, and I've made about 4 batches now with this egg ring. And I have not had a cracked egg in there. And I'm telling you, I don't know if it's good for me or not, but I'm eating a heck of a lot more hard-boiled eggs than I ever did because of this Instant Pot and now this doggone egg ring. Anyway, other gadgets I've seen that are really cool. The other one I'm really tempted to get, it's like a sling. It's like a silicone sling that you put into the bottom of your Instant Pot insert. And then, like, if, for example, if you're going to make a roast, you put all your ingredients in on the top of that. And then when it's done, rather than, you know, taking spoons or spatulas or forks or whatever and trying to fish everything out, you just lift up the handles of the silicone sling and pull everything out of the Instant Pot insert, which I think is pretty cool too. So I just wanted to share that cool Instant Pot find with you. Again, I'll put a picture or a link to one on in the show notes. If you're a hard-boiled egg Instant Pot person, you really owe it to yourself to look at one of these. But in general, more Instant Pot content. I will be working on that. Also, a year or so ago, maybe a little bit longer, I bought an air fryer primarily because I wanted to talk about air fryers on the show. And at the time, I bought this just a small little air fryer, basically the smallest one I could find. A couple of weeks ago, I actually traded that in, so to speak, and I got a nice big air fryer. I don't know what size it is, but it's about 3 times the size of my old air fryer. So the old air fryer I had, like to give you an idea, I could probably get like 6 chicken wings in there comfortably without crowding them. I could probably almost triple that. That might be a bit much, but at least double the amount of chicken wings, for example, in my new air fryer, which is cool because now I feel I can make things in that air fryer in fewer batches for the family, right? So for Tracy and Alex, my son, with the old air fryer. If I wanted to make something, oftentimes it was three or four batches of things. Now I feel like I could do fewer batches, make more food in there. And I should mention that people have been asking me for air fryer content as well. So I'm going to be working on that too. Okay, I want to talk about tomato soup now for a minute. I know it feels like I'm jumping from topic to topic, but hey, that's just kind of how I do these smorgasbords. But I want to talk about tomato soup. I know a lot of you are making tomato soup these days. Obviously, tomatoes, depending on where you live, either are in season or were just in season. But, you know, tomatoes are obviously readily available all the time anyway. But I want to mention, I have also upped my tomato soup game. Now, I have a pretty good tomato soup recipe that I will link to in the show notes that rely on canned tomatoes. So they're really good for all year round for making it, right? You don't need fresh tomatoes. But I was experimenting with some fresh tomato soup this late this summer. And I have to say, I really found a way to up the flavor of my tomato soup. Now, ordinarily, when I make tomato soup, it includes like some onion, carrot, maybe a little bit of celery, and tomatoes, of course. And I like to blend my tomato soup so it's smooth, like with a handheld immersion blender or in a, you know, an actual blender to blend up the soup till it's nice and smooth. Well, I was making some slow oven dried tomatoes for a salad the other day, and I'll explain how to do that in a second. But it occurred to me that those would be a great flavor addition to either a fresh or a canned tomato soup, where you just substitute a little bit of the actual tomato, you know, whether they're canned or fresh tomatoes, out and add in a few of these oven-dried tomatoes. Now, if you've never had oven-dried tomatoes, they're in essence like a sun-dried tomato. And by the way, this is a really inexpensive way to make your own quote-unquote sun-dried tomatoes at home. You don't need a dehydrator. You don't need a special food dryer, anything like that. You can just use your oven and a baking sheet. And really, all you need are some fresh tomatoes, some olive oil, and some salt. You can get fancier from there, but really to make these, that's all you need. Now, this will give you a lot of depth to your tomato soup's flavor. But if you're not even interested in making tomato soup, I really recommend, if you haven't done this, to give these a try, because they're great on salads, they're great in pasta, they're great just to snack on, they're delicious in and of themselves. They're very easy to do, but they do take some time. It's all hands-off time, or most of it is hands-off time. But here's the general process I want to share with you if you haven't done this. And by the way, this works the best. The smaller the tomato, in my experience, the better it works. If you have large tomatoes that you're trying to do this with, it will work, but you're going to want to cut the tomatoes up into smaller pieces. But so, for example, I would use grape tomatoes, the real little grape-sized tomatoes. These are perfect for that. So what you do is you slice each tomato in half lengthwise, lay them all cut side up down on a couple layers of paper towels. And depending on how many tomatoes you do, there's really no ratio. Just pick however many tomatoes you think you want. So let's just say you're going to make a dozen tomatoes. So you've got like 24 halves, right? Cut side up. Take some kosher salt. Sprinkle those tomatoes fairly liberally all over the cut side up of those tomatoes. And you're going to want to let them sit for about 10 minutes before you do anything else. Now, the reason you do this is because you're actually drawing moisture out of those tomatoes. So the salt is going to help season them a little bit, but really the primary goal of salting your tomatoes is to pull the moisture out. After about 10 minutes, what I do is I take another couple layers of kitchen towel, paper towels, and I press them down again, right, all over the cut sides of those tomatoes. And what's going to happen is it's going to pull out all the moisture that's been drawn out of those tomatoes from the salt. Your tomatoes will probably stick to the paper towel, so you just got to kind of pop them off. Once you've done that, you're going to toss maybe in a bowl those tomatoes with a little bit of olive oil. I mean, for the amount of tomatoes I mentioned, 12 tomatoes, you know, 24 halves. I mean, we're talking like a little over a teaspoon probably of olive oil. You don't need that much. And then you lay them out on a baking sheet. And I would recommend putting maybe parchment paper down, because this is going to take some time and they will get deep in color, and you know, you don't want to ruin a nice clean baking sheet if that's what you're using. So put a little parchment paper down if you want to protect. And then you put them in an oven that's set to about 225 degrees Fahrenheit for for like 6 hours. Now, it sounds like a long time, but that's all hands-off time. It's not going to heat your house up if you're worried about that because it's pretty low temperature. But what's going to happen at the end of that 6 or so hours, and you're going to watch them. You might want to pull them out a little earlier or leave them in a little bit longer, depending on what you like. But you're going to end up with these little oven-dried tomatoes that are essentially, in essence, like sun-dried tomatoes. They're going to be very flavorful to eat on their own. But again, a great addition to things like salads, pastas, or tossing them into the base of a tomato soup that is really going to give, it's going to kick up your tomato flavor a notch when you go to blend up your soup if those little buggers are in there. It's funny because it's something I never think about until it's tomato season, but really this is a great treatment for supermarket grape tomatoes or cherry tomatoes all year round. It brings just a beautiful, fresh, deep flavored, tomato tool into your kitchen that you can use for all sorts of things. So definitely give that a try. I'll put this method over in the show notes so you don't have to remember everything I mentioned here on how I did that. But again, super easy, really delicious. Definitely give that a try. And as I mentioned, if you're using larger tomatoes, it would probably work, except you're going to want to cut those tomatoes up into smaller pieces. The only reason being your tomatoes will not really dry out if they're really big, fat, juicy. Like if you're trying to do like beefsteak tomatoes or something, there's going to be probably too much liquid in those tomatoes to really work well. Roma tomatoes would probably work pretty good because those are, by their nature, less juicy tomatoes. But again, you'd want to cut those into smaller pieces. By the way, I am very curious about what you all are working on for fall foods in your kitchens. And again, a lot of you are in the Facebook group sharing all of that. But if you have any favorite recipes or tips or tricks for any of the tried and true favorites, send me an email, feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. I'd love to get those out to the community and share those if I can. Okay, new topic. So it's October, which also means many of you, I am sure, are waiting for the Halloween episode to drop. Fear not. Haha, see what I did there. The Halloween episode will happen this year. It is in the works. We just have to nail down the recording day and we'll get it taken care of. Now, if you've never listened to one of our Halloween episodes, they're just kind of a goof. My friend Chris and I, we get together and we eat quote unquote strange foods. And again, some of these foods won't be strange to some people because it's, common food for some folks. But, for us, we just try to find interesting things to eat and we record it as we do it. Now, when I say interesting things, this can range anywhere from things you can find in the grocery store, like pickled pig's feet, weird canned fish products, to more exotic things like bugs and things you might not necessarily find in your typical grocery store, like century eggs, things like that. I think we've done four of these now, and we've tried a whole lot of stuff. Well, I'm not going to give it away right now what we're going to be doing for this Halloween episode, but I just want to say I am pretty confident that I can guarantee that we will be eating things that have never been eaten before. Yes, I'm not going to elaborate, but I'm going to let that statement stand. And when the episode comes out, you'll see what I mean. But we're definitely doing something just a little bit different this year, but it's in the same spirit of eating strange things. And I hope you guys will really enjoy it. So that should be out in a couple of weeks. Keep your eyes peeled for that. It's always a fun episode to do. And I know a lot of you really, really look forward to it. So rest assured that is definitely in the works. All right, so I've got a couple more things I want to get to before we're done with today's episode. And the next item is something completely new for the show, and I've never done this before. And I want to give just a little bit of background on why I'm doing this before I really get into it. But if you've listened to the show for any length of time, that I take an approach where I am not trying to sell you anything on the show. Now, good news, I'm not changing that. I'm not going to be putting ads or anything in the program, but I want to do something this year that I haven't done before, but I'm really passionate about, and I want to share it with you here first. I want to do a fundraiser for the Kitchen Counter Podcast this year. Not a fundraiser, for the Kitchen Counter Podcast, but a fundraiser put on by the Kitchen Counter Podcast for a worthy cause. So I'm not going to ask you to buy anything from me, but I am going to ask you if it's within your means, and I know it isn't for everybody, and there's certainly no expectation that you would do this. I get that times are weird, times are tough, but if in any way you can help, I'd really ask for it. And the cause that I'm going to be doing a fundraiser for between now and the end of the year, December 31st, is an organization called the World Central Kitchen. Now, if you're not familiar with this organization, they've been in the news a lot in the last couple of years. It's an organization. It was founded by in 2010 by Chef Jose Andres, who is somewhat of a celebrity chef. You've probably seen him on the Food Network cooking channel. But he founded this organization in response, I believe, to the earthquake in Haiti. And what this organization does is they stand up all over the world. They stand up kitchens where natural disasters have hit, or, you know, something's happening where there are a lot of people that need to eat and they can't get a hot meal. So what World Central Kitchen does is they go around the world. They're very busy in the United States as well. They'll find local resources, local chefs, local food sources, local food producers, farmers, and they will stand up hot kitchens where they can serve hot meals to people. So for example, current events, I think Hurricane Delta is moving north through the Gulf and is on track to make landfall in Louisiana. So they're down in Louisiana ready to stand up kitchens, field kitchens, and serve hot meals to folks down there. On the west coast of the United States, they've been working, I think, in Santa Rosa, California, to help with wildfire relief. So they're out there cooking hot meals for the folks who have been impacted with the wildfires. Those are two examples in the United States, but they're a worldwide organization, and they're just amazing. And I just want to say, if you're interested in supporting this, I have made a goal to raise $500 for the organization, which I think is a fairly modest goal between now and December 31st. Now, over the next few weeks, I'm going to be sharing some more information about it. So if you're already sick of me talking about it, I apologize in advance, but you're going to hear a little bit more about this. Now, if you're interested in learning a little bit more, I did put up a page over at the website at kitchencounterpodcast.com/WCK. That will take you to a little bit of information. I've put a video on the World Central Kitchen there on that page. So better than I could ever explain, I think you should go watch that video and you can get a taste for yourself what the organization does. And then it will have a link to the fundraising page for the World Central Kitchen and the Kitchen Counter Podcast. So again, I know a lot of folks are seeing hard times, and if you can support the fundraiser, great. If not, that's okay. You should not feel guilty or obligated at all. I totally understand, but you know, for those of us who have the means, I think it's a fantastic organization. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. But again, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/WCK for a little bit more information on this fundraiser. Okay. And so last item today, I want to play you a little bit of voice feedback I got. I forget that I even have this on my website because I hardly ever talk about it. But you know, if you go over to the website, kitchencounterpodcast.com, in the upper right corner, there is a button, an orange button or an orange tab that says send a voice message. You can actually click on that, record from your computer or your phone an audio message, like a voicemail. Send that and I will get that and I will actually play it on the show. So if you have a question you want me to play on the show or a comment, you can actually send me a voice message that way. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty easy to do. And I actually want to play you one that I just received here not too long ago. So this is Lois. So I'm going to play this message and I'll be right back.
Good morning, Roger. I'm an old woman of almost 89 years old. I enjoy listening to your podcast so much. I made many meals over the years. I cooked for 5 daughters and my husband. Now I'm having a hard time cooking for myself, but I still enjoy every day listening to your podcast as I either sit and knit or crochet or quilt. You give me great inspiration when I hear how you love cooking for your family. You bring new ideas into my home, even though I'm not able to cook all those things anymore. Please don't stop recording. Keep up this good work. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lois. I probably don't even have to say this, but that made my month. Lois, thank you so much for sending me that message. It means a lot to me. I don't even know what to say. It's very sweet, and I'm glad you're getting something out of the show, and it's my absolute pleasure to bring it to you. And you have my word. I'm not going to stop making them anytime soon. So, Lois, thank you so much. Really, really fabulous to hear from you. I just wanted to play that and say thank you on the air because it really did mean a lot to me. So thank you very much. Okay, everybody. I think that's going to do it for today's Smorgasbord episode. Thanks so much for joining me. Once again, show notes for this episode, kitchencounterpodcast.com/167. Go there to check out anything I might have mentioned in here, the fundraiser for World Central Kitchen, your new egg ring need for the Instant Pot. Trust me, you really do need one if you make eggs in the Instant Pot. And whatever else I mentioned on the show. And one other thing, you know, if you get value out of the show and you enjoy it and you think your friends or your family might as well, I would love it if you could take a few minutes to tell them about the show. And if they're not familiar with how podcasts work, which there are people out there that aren't, you know, maybe just take a minute to show them how to find it, how to subscribe to it so they don't miss any future episodes. And you know, there's a lot of really great podcasts out there. So you would be doing them a favor anyway by opening up a whole new world for them of listening pleasure. All right, everybody. Thanks once again for tuning in. Remember, Halloween episode on the way. I've got another couple interview episodes lined up for you. I can't wait to bring them to you. But until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.